Father, wash us. Savior, or we die. Father, we pray that you would open our minds, that we could understand more the suffering of Jesus, why he died for us. And we pray, Father, that you would open the eyes of our heart, that we may get a sense of his suffering, that we may appreciate it. Father, that we would be in awe of what you've done for us and your sacrifice. We pray that you would continue to lead us to the cross tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Have you ever been scrolling through social media and all of a sudden you just kind of realize, maybe I'm not as in as I think? I mean, I have. And I mean, I want to be in. I like to be in with certain friends, in with the right people. I like to be in on the right things, going to the right events, all that, right? Now, let's be honest. My name is Kermit, okay? With a name like Kermit, there's been lots of times I haven't felt in my life. But especially when I'm scrolling through social media, sometimes it's like I'm looking through there and, oh, look, there's some friends of mine and they're out to dinner. And, I'm not there. Wonder why I wasn't invited. And I keep scrolling and I see these people on these grand vacations and trips, Disney, cruises, all sorts of things. I'm not there. Sometimes even my friends are together, but I'm not there. So maybe I'm not as in as I think. Can you relate to that? I mean, I think we all can. I mean, maybe you're a student and you didn't get invited to that sleepover or that party. Or maybe you're trying really hard to get on the varsity team. You've tried really hard, but you don't make it. Maybe as an adult like me, it's just the friends at the dinner party. It's just that outing, that social outing that you weren't invited to. Or maybe it's work. Maybe it's that select work group that you were hoping to get into but weren't invited into, or that one project you wanted to be a part of. And all of a sudden we realize, maybe I'm not as in as I think. Well, how about in our relationship with God? We want to be in, right? This is a Good Friday crowd. You took your Friday night to come and think about and the death of Jesus and what that means, right? So my guess is we want to be in with God. And my guess is probably most of us think that we are in with God. But what if some of us aren't as in as we think? See, in 2011, there's this finance executive, this food critic named Paul Grinberg, and he decided to go on this, he called it his culinary adventure, 2011. So his goal is to get to the top 100 restaurants in the world and eat at them and critique them, okay? And so he went all over the world to do this, many countries, and he ate some pretty exotic foods. I mean, things like shark belly, alligator tendon, brains. He ate some crazy stuff, okay? All over the world. Well, in 2018, the Wall Street Journal reported that in those 7 years, he had been to 99 of those 100 restaurants. 99. But there's one that he could not get into. See, it's this little sushi bar in Tokyo, Japan, called Sushi Saito. It's an 8-person sushi bar, literally 8 seats. They don't have a website. They only answer their phone one day a month and book for the rest of the month. And of course, there are no walk-ins at all. But Mr. Ginsburg, he's determined. And so what does he do? He calls them and he tries to tell them, hey, I've been to 99 restaurants out of the top 100. Don't you want me to come? But they don't care about his little adventure. And so he pulls out all the stops again. What about his connections? So he contacts people from Goldman Sachs, PricewaterhouseCooper, all these different investment firms. He even contacts some connections he has in Japanese car industry. None of them can get him in. So finally, he goes directly to the restaurant, knocks on the door. And again, he can't get in. Why can't he get into this restaurant? Well, here's the thing, is that Sushi Saito is a members-only sushi restaurant. the only way a non-member can get in is if a member brings them or makes a reservation for them. See, you can't come, you have to be brought. I mean, think about this guy had the credentials, this guy had the connections, and yet he wasn't as in as he thought. What if the same is true in our relationship with God? What if what it takes to be in with God is different than what we think it is? What if the credentials and the connections that are on our list aren't on God's list? What if we aren't as in as we think? Well, there's a verse that we actually read earlier in the service, written by the Apostle Peter. He was one of the original 12 disciples who lived with Jesus. He was with him for his 3 years of ministry. He walked with Jesus. He saw Jesus' teaching. He heard him. He even was an eyewitness to Jesus' death and resurrection. And he wrote this letter to one of the earliest churches, one of the earliest churches there was. And we still have this letter. It's called 1 Peter. And Peter encapsulates in one verse why we're here on a Good Friday, why Jesus had to die. If you ask Peter that, this is what he would say. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Did you catch it? You can't come, you have to be brought. See, Jesus died to bring you to God. Wait a minute, why can't we just come? Why do we have to be brought? And how is it that the death of this person, Jesus Christ, brings us to God? That's what we want to think about together for the next few moments. We're going to take 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, and look at it kind of phrase by phrase and think about why did Jesus die? Let's look at the first two words, for Christ, for Christ. Now, I know when we hear the word Christ, we all think it's Jesus' last name, right? Guess what? It's actually not Jesus' last name. Christ is a title. Christ means God's anointed one, the Son of God. And so when we hear the word Christ, what we're meant to understand is that this is saying that the Son of God from all eternity came into the world as a person, the person of Jesus Christ, and lived in this broken world. And he was the Son of God. He was, yes, the Son of God, the Christ. So in other words, Jesus is in with God. He's part of the Trinity. His connection counts. Maybe our connections don't count, but Jesus' connection counts. But let's think about that for a minute. What about our connections? Well, I'm just thinking about my own life. I mean, there's a lot of my life where I was kind of relying on my connections to get me in with God. I mean, I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up going to church. I even kind of jumped through some religious hoops. I mean, I was baptized. I remember walking an aisle. I think I was even rebaptized, stuff like that. Can you relate to that? But here's the question. Does that get us in? See, what Peter is telling us in this verse is that no, that doesn't get us in. Our connections don't count. Only Jesus' connection to the Father counts. See, we can't come. We have to be brought. Let's keep looking at the verse. For Christ also suffered once for sins. He suffered once for sins. See, here's the thing, is we don't think our wrong things in our life, the ways we stray from God, are that big of a deal. I mean, we don't even call it sin most of the time. I mean, no one's perfect, right? And I think a lot of us just think, you know, as long as my good outweighs my bad, at the end of the day, I'm in, God, right? But go with me here for a moment. If there really is a God, and he's infinitely different and infinitely higher of a being than we are, then wouldn't it make sense that God has an infinitely higher standard, an infinitely higher sense of morality, and that maybe, just maybe, our sin is a lot more serious to God than we think? See, and that's exactly what the cross teaches us. The cross teaches us that the measure of the solution is the measure of the problem. So let's say I need a Band-Aid, okay? I need a Band-Aid. Well, I put a Band-Aid on. I don't have that big of a problem, right? I've got a little cut. I've got a scratch. No big deal. Slap the Band-Aid on. I'm fine. But what if I need open heart surgery? If I need open heart surgery, I've got a massive problem. I've got a life-threatening problem. See, the measure of the solution shows us the measure of the problem. See, if Jesus, go with me here, if Jesus had to leave heaven and come to earth and be born in that dirty stable, and if he had to live life in this broken world, and if for 3 years in his ministry he had to be ridiculed and mocked by the religious leaders and questioned over and over again and accused, and then he had to walk alongside these disciples, these dumb disciples who didn't get it. They asked him dumb questions. They were hard-hearted, slow to learn. And then at the end of his life, he was betrayed by one of his best friends. And then he was beaten, falsely accused. They took a cat of nine tails, an ancient instrument of torture, and beat him over and over and over again until the flesh hung like ribbons on his back. He literally almost died from blood loss. And then what did they do? They put a crown of thorns on his head. They put a robe on him to mock him. And then they made him carry a cross up a hill. And so, almost dying from lack of blood, but he's trying to carry a cross and he's stumbling and he's falling, but he's trying to carry the cross. And then they get up to the hill, and what do? They drive spikes in his hands and spikes in his feet. And he's on the cross and he's asphyxiating in his own blood. He's gasping for breath. And then he gives up his spirit and he dies. So what I'm saying is, if that's God's solution to our problem, then we probably have a bigger problem than we think with sin. See, he paid the penalty so we wouldn't have to. One of the authors in the New Testament says it this way. You know, if we could pay for our own sin, then Christ died for nothing. But see, what we're seeing here is that Christ's cross is what counts. We can't come. We have to be brought. Let's look again at 1 Peter. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous. Righteous? What does that mean? Well, righteousness just means perfect in goodness, in truth, and justice. In other words, it's the very character of God himself. See, we like to assume that our credentials will count, kind of like Mr. Grinberg in the restaurants, right? Won't our credentials count? But see, in God's eyes, he calls us the unrighteous. Somehow our credentials don't count, so we can't just come. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that everything you do is bad. I'm not saying that there aren't good areas of your life. I'm not saying that at all. But what I'm saying is our goodness doesn't hold a candle to God's goodness and doesn't earn anything with God. It doesn't count. And the ways we've wronged God and our neighbor are more serious than we know. And they're symptoms of a heart condition, the Bible says, of rebellion against God. And here's the thing, is there's a big part of us that doesn't want to come to God. Why? Because we like being our own gods. I like being in control of my life sometimes, right? See, coming to God is kind of like approaching the sun. Now, we've never been able to do this, right? But imagine in the future you can take a spaceship and fly it close to the sun. That'd be pretty cool, right? So you're in this spaceship and you're going close to the sun, but having your credentials and relying on your credentials is like wearing a modern-day spacesuit that we have now. Right? On Earth, it looks good. On the moon, it even works. But imagine flying close to the sun in that spacesuit. What would happen? We'd be incinerated, right? We would be completely burned up. So I think that trying to come to God is kind of like trying to put on this coat to go to an elegant party. Right? Go with me now. I know this is a little cheesy, but go with me. I think we tend to kind of look at our lives, and there's good areas of our lives, things that, you know, are commendable. And a lot of times what we do is we kind of focus on those, right? It's kind of like, oh, look at that. That's a nice piece of cloth right there. It has a nice sheen to it. It's a nice color. It looks good. And we like to kind of compare ourselves with others, right? And that makes us feel better about ourselves. Well, at least I'm better than her. I'm a lot better than that guy. I can tell you that. But would we go to an elegant party in this coat? Would we be in? No, of course not. We show up in this coat, and it's blaringly obvious that we don't belong. We're not in. There's gaping holes. It's torn. It's dirty. We don't fit in. Let's look back at the verse. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous. Well, who's the righteous? Well, that's Jesus. Jesus is righteous. See, Jesus' credentials do count with God. He was perfect. He was sinless. Get this. Jesus perfectly obeyed the will of God every second of his life. He loved God perfectly every second of his life. He loved his neighbor perfectly every second of his life. He was righteous. And so this verse says the righteous for the unrighteous. His credentials count, and what he's trying to do is give us his credentials. See, we read Isaiah earlier where Isaiah foresaw the suffering of Jesus. Now I'd like for us to read another verse where Isaiah not only sees the suffering, but he sees what that suffering is going to accomplish. Here's what it says. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God. Okay, so something has made Isaiah happy. Something is delighting him, right? What is it? For I have clothed myself with garments of salvation. I have arrayed myself in a robe of righteousness. Is that what it says? Wait a second. No, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say I've clothed myself. It says he has clothed me. It says he has arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. See, we can't come. We have to be brought. And so the way we're brought to Jesus is Jesus gives us a different coat. He gives us a robe of righteousness. He gives us a coat that is perfect, a coat without stain, without wrinkle, without blemish. This is the coat we can wear to be in with God. I mean, think about that for a minute. Trying to wear this kind of coat, it just wears us out. We're relying on our credentials. We're hoping our connections matter, but we are worn out trying to measure up. But we can't. But then we have this coat that God is offering us and saying, will you let me bring you in this coat? Yes. What a relief that we can come in this coat. So what does this mean for you and for me? Well, here's what it means. It means that we need to stop relying on what we're doing and start relying on what Jesus has done. Have you heard that? Stop relying on what you're doing. Start relying on what Jesus has done. Now, if you're like me, there's something about that. When I hear that, there's just some resistance that comes up in my heart. What is that? Well, it's hard to do that. Why? Because think about it. It's so humbling to say that I can't come. I have to be brought. It's humbling to think that I needed someone to die for me. I needed Jesus, the Son of God, to die for me. There's something about my pride that just kills. And that's hard. But the other thing is that it's scary. It kind of feels like we're losing a sense of self-control or a sense of control over our life. I mean, think about it. If you can bring something to God, if you bring some credentials that you offer God, well, then you have some say-so over your life, don't you? You have something you can hold up to God. You have a little authority of your life still. But what if you have to be brought? What if Jesus has to carry you? Well, then he could ask anything of you, couldn't he? And that's scary to think about. But isn't that kind of the point? I mean, if we could run our lives on our own and it was just fine, well, let's go do that. But how's that going for you? I know it's not going well for me when I try to do that, when I try to have control of my life. And think about this. If Jesus is who he says he is, if he loves us the way he says he loves us and proved it by dying on the cross for us, isn't that someone that you can trust with your life? Isn't that someone that you can give control of your life to? And think about what a difference this would make in your life. If you stop trying to come and instead you let Jesus bring you to God, think about the difference it would make. First of all, you'd have so much less anxiety and insecurity in your life. I think that there's a lot of us that have this low grade, just sense of anxiety in our life, insecurity. Why? Because we're kind of trying to push down this question. We don't want to have to deal with it. But it's under there. It's bothering us. It's gnawing at us, at some of us. What are we going to do with that? You know, I've talked to a lot of people, and sometimes I'll ask them, just, how are things in your relationship with God? And there's an answer I get sometimes that worries me. Very often I hear this answer. You know what? I'm really trying hard to be a Christian. I'm really trying hard to be a Christian. So when I hear that, I just wonder, wait a second, are they getting it yet? It sounds to me like they're still trying to come. They're still trying hard, but it's not gonna work. They're not letting Jesus bring them to God. But not only would we have less anxiety and insecurity, we'd have so much more gratitude in our life. Have you heard of people who literally someone rescued their life, saved their life? The deep gratitude in their heart is amazing. And that's what God means to do in our lives. And here's the thing. Of course, less anxiety, less insecurity, more gratitude. Those are amazing and awesome things. But here's the thing, is ultimately, if we don't let Jesus bring us, we're not in with God forever. And that is the ultimate tragedy in your life. But what if we all did this as a church? What if more and more of us stopped trying to come and started letting Jesus bring us? We stopped relying on what we're doing and we started relying on what Jesus has done for us. What would that mean in our lives? Well, I think that as a church together, we would have a lot less self-righteousness. We'd have a lot less judgment and comparison on other people. We'd be a lot more attractive to the watching world. Because think about it, isn't that one of the main reasons that people reject Christianity? Because they think of Christians, they think that Christians are people that think that we're better than them, right? Or that if we just obey these rules that don't make sense, then we're better than them. But see, the cross shows that that's totally not true. A Christian is someone who realizes we're totally disqualified. We can't come on our own at all. I'm not better than anyone. The only reason I have a relationship with God is because Jesus has brought me. And what does that do? That makes us a patient church, patient with people, kind to people, more humble, more joyful, more attractive. We're gonna be much more likely to invite others to consider Christianity, aren't we? Because I'm not better than anyone. No one's a lost cause if I can get in. And I'd say this, if you're here tonight or you're hearing this and you've rejected Christianity for this very reason, because Christians are hypocrites that think they're better than others, well, maybe, have you thought about this? Maybe you've rejected a caricature of Christianity. What about the real thing? What about the real Christianity that Jesus talked about, that's talked about in the Bible? Would that be worth your consideration? So how about you? Are you still trying to come? Or are you gonna let Jesus bring you? How about you? What's gonna make you in? Which coat are you going to wear? See, Jesus died once, but we all forget it all the time. We forget what he's done. We so easily start relying on what we're doing again and stop relying on what Jesus has done. That anxiety, that lack of peace comes back in. But Jesus has given us a perpetual reminder. He was crucified once, but this is a perpetual reminder that we can't come. We have to be brought. And only here in the death of Jesus are we in with God. And if we come through Jesus, we are for sure in. See, Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took some bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body given for you. Take and eat." And then he took some wine and he poured it in a cup and he said, "This is my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Drink it." The way we do communion here at the Crossing is, first of all, you don't have to come. If you'd like to just stay and think about what you've heard and what you've sung, feel free to do that. But if tonight, if you would say, "I don't wanna keep trying to come, I wanna let Jesus bring me." If that's your heart, to rely on what Jesus has done on the cross, we invite you to come. You'll just come forward. You'll come up to us. You don't have to say anything. We'll say a word of blessing to you. And you'll take a little piece of the bread and dip it in either the wine that's in our hand or the grape juice that's on the stool. If you'd like to give money to meet the needs in our community, the baskets with these white cloths, that money goes straight to meet needs in our community. And so we invite you to come. And I would even say this, if something has struck you tonight and you've realized, "Man, I've been trying to come so hard, but I want to let Jesus bring me," I invite you to even take a bigger piece than usual and dip it way down in there, just as a sign to you, right? A sign that, yes, indeed, Jesus is my only hope. As the people who are going to take communion or help with communion come forward, let me pray for us. Father, we see at the cross that we cannot come on our own. We see what Jesus has done for us and we realize we have a problem on our own. We can't come. We have to be brought. And the only way we could be brought was by the blood of Jesus, his broken body, his spilled blood. And that is our trust. And so, Lord, we come to you as your people who stop relying on ourselves and start relying on Jesus. We come to you as people who want to be reminded of that over and over again. And we pray that you would do this in our hearts right now. In Jesus' name, amen. People of God, we invite you to come and take from the Lord's table.